this one. Pascal, where is he? How do we get back into it? Maybe just press it once at the side. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi Sai, yesterday we discussed the case that Chofetz Chaim brings. Our limud Chofetz Chaim is the Zchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, as Limna Refuah Shleim Bekorov. And we're learning Chofetz Chaim, in which he was talking about a case where he gave us an example where people are being don the Chaf Ra, where people are being don the Chaf Choivo. For instance, the example he gave was of somebody who comes out with a Psak Bezdin, which went against him. In fact, it could even be, it's unlikely, but it could even be a Psak Bezdin that went in his favor. But he says that the Dayanim don't know what they're talking about, they're not legally trained, they don't have the experience, they can't understand the issues, one of them was sleeping. He comes up with all sorts of excuses, and he says basically that the Psak is worthless. That's what he's saying. So what do you do about that? Yeah. So he's waving the Psak Din, and he says, did you ever hear anything so ridiculous in all your life? And I told you about somebody who wrote me a letter after a Psak Din, exactly the same thing, saying that Zionim basically were incompetent, and that if it had gone to a court, then a real judge would have found different. That's what he said, yeah? So he says as follows. If Reuven agrees with Shimon, a Reuven who was walking across the street, and who met Shimon coming out the Beis Din, yeah, so if Reuven agrees with him, then he's guilty also of not being don the dayonim lekaf schus. And there's a mitzvah midoraisa or betzedek tishboit amisecho, that if there's an opportunity or possibility of being don lekaf schus, then you're obliged to do that. So therefore, in addition to that, he'll also be accepting Lashon Hara. He's mekabel Lashon Hara because he hears that the Beis Din didn't conduct itself properly. He says one of the dayonim was sleeping, or they didn't understand, they shouldn't have dealt with the case, they should have recused themselves, etc. So therefore, and he says that in addition to that, you've got the question of Bibalt. In this particular case, you're talking about Dayonim. So you've got a question of being Mezalzel in the covered of Rabbonim and Dayonim, which is another problem. So it's got three problems. He's not doing Betzedek Tishboit HaMesecho. He's not judging favorably. He's being Mekabel Lashon Hara. And he's being Mekabel Lashon Hara on Rabbonim and Dayonim. Therefore, what Reuven should do is try and convince Shimon that the Dayanim have done their best, and they've dealt with the case based on what they saw as best they could. And that if it is correct, and if it is true that Levi, the third party, has cheated him, and if it's true that Levi managed to pull the wool over the eyes of the Dayanim, and that he misled them, and he managed to make them believe him, then what he should say is that you understand that, you know, we believe that there is a Rabbeinu Shlom in the world, and that everything is done according to a master plan. It's a chelik of the master plan that this psak should go against you. But if indeed Levi took your money, and you didn't manage to get it back through the Beis Din, then we believe that there is a Rabbeinu Shlom in the world who eventually will make Levi lose that money, and eventually that money will find itself back in your pocket. So therefore, for those reasons, he should be able to try and calm Shimon down, because he doesn't want Shimon going around town doing it to everybody he meets. And therefore, that would be the mitzvah of Betzedek Tishboit HaMesecho, and that way he's not Mekabel Lashon Hara, and possibly he can stay a Machloikas, which otherwise is going to go around town.
Today, the Turaway, Northwest London, Monday, 29th of Cheshvan, 13th of November, Rabbi Shmuley Noe Shlita, life insurance, valid hishtadlus or lack of bitochen. This is Turaway, is the first time I've been sponsored this course, Hachosan Simcha Ben Chai, the Veronary Yoev, Akalo Esther Chanel, Bas Rochel, Shatichi, Shayisku, the nurse, Bais, the Mombi Israel, the Kesha Shell came up with Vinyan Adayav.
Amen. Morning.
Good morning.
Mitchem, today I would like to discuss the topic of life insurance in Halacha, or life insurance in Hashkofa. So what is life insurance? So there are various types, but I'll speak about the most common type of life insurance, and that is that a person no matter his age, or up to a certain age generally, can decide he wants to insure himself in case something goes wrong. So it depends on how old the person is, and depends how much he wants to receive as a payout. But basically, there are various agents and various companies that insure people, and they will pay. They will insure a person for a certain price per month, that if something goes wrong and he's nifta, or a person can insure himself if he becomes terminally ill, or he could choose the level of insurance and the type of cover that he wants. But the insurance is that if something bad happens to him, as long as he's insured during the time of the policy, he will be paid at a certain sum. So for example, Reuven could be 35 years old, and he could decide he doesn't want to leave his family with chas v'shalom, if something goes wrong, with debts or without a way to support themselves, without a salary if he's the breadwinner. So therefore he decides to pay £20 per month or £30 per month in order to insure himself up until the age of 60 or 70 or 80, that if something goes wrong, the family will receive £1 million. If he's nifta, sorry? We can speak afterwards where you should go. But I'll upon him so forth, and there'll be a payout of £1 million if during the policy he is nifta. So the question is whether this is al pi halacha or al pi Torah Hashkofa, this is a good thing. Someone should take responsibility for his family and for his children's needs, al atzor shloyovoy, whether it's a bad thing, whether it's something which the Torah would look kindly upon, or whether it's something which the Torah would frown upon. Currently, in America, over 50% of people in America have life insurance. In England, it's a little bit less. It's about 35%. I don't know why in England the life insurance usage is much lower than in America. But Al-Kaponim, if you go back a few centuries, it was even banned and very, very strongly frowned upon. And in some countries in Europe, life insurance was banned because of the reasons that it makes a person lazy, some people claimed. Because if a person knows he has to plan and make sure that he leaves an estate over for the family, he will work much harder. If he knows if something goes wrong, there's always a backup plan, there's always a plan B, then there's the risk that he won't work as hard. So until recently, or until 150 or 200 years ago, wasn't as common. And you see in the Tshuva Sforum that discussed life insurance in Halacha, the most recent of them was just before the war. And then post-war also, many more Tshuva Sforum. But it doesn't go much further back than 150 years or so. I think until this day, lahavdil in Islamic law, I've seen that life insurance is illegal. And in Iran, in Libya, you cannot get life insurance. It would probably cost a lot to be insured anyway in certain countries. But Al-Kaponim, what is the Torah Diga Hashkofa when they get to life insurance? So there's three different shailas which the poskim can discuss, or three different concerns, or three different problems that we have to look at, which the poskim can bring up that could be a reason why the Torah would frown upon life insurance. And we'll look at those three different reasons. And then we'll see perhaps why the poskim, at least most of the poskim, can say that these three reasons are not a concern. And then we'll see what the majority of poskim, what was the hog of Gedol Yisrael, but again, taking our life insurance policies. So the first concern that the poskim can bring up, but again, to life insurance, is bitochen. We know that we have a mitzvah for a person to have bitochen. We learn from the psukim, many psukim, but a few psukim, one poskim tell him, betach b'Hashem v'asei tov, and peik l'medzayin, a person should have betochen, a person should trust in Hashem. Yisrael betach b'Hashem, ezra umaginom hu. Klal Yisrael, you should have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll take care of you, he'll keep you safe. Now there's a big machloikus, exactly what a person has to have trust in. Should he trust? He has to have trust in Hashem, but what should he trust? Is he meant to trust that everything will be fantastic? Or is he just meant to trust that it might not be fantastic, but kol man da'od rachmon atav of it? But al kaponim, wherever the exact ged of betochen is, in the Chazon Ish, in the Emunah betochen Perek Beis, very famously writes that betochen doesn't mean that a person has to believe that everything will be brilliant according to the way he sees it. But a person has to believe that it could be good, it could be not, but everything is run by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And everything's decided by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. And everything Kodesh Baruch Hu does is for the good. Kol ma'ad ovid rachman l'tav ovid. But al kaponim, we certainly have a mitzvah of betochen. And that mitzvah of betochen means that we have to trust in Kodesh Baruch Hu that he runs the world. And we also have to trust in Kodesh Baruch Hu that everything he does is good. Shai Tshuva learns the mitzvah of betochen from the pasuk, ki seitz la'mechom aloi vecho, when you go to war, v're'isa, sus, v'rechev, amravimcha, you'll see a very great, strong nation, lo yisira mehem, do not be scared, do not worry. And the Shai Tshuva writes in Shai Gilmo Islamat Beis, he says the word, hizarnu bazeh, that we're told with this pasuk, she'im yira ha'odom ki tzora kroiva, if a person ever sees that there's a tzora, something that looks like it's going to go wrong, tia yeshua sashem bilvovoi, he should trust in the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yiftach aleo, and he should be confident in the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a mitzvah of betochen, we have a chiyuv of betochen, that person should trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Orech HaTzadikim in Shah Simcha also writes, b'negeya to betochen, two different points. He writes, m'inyan ha-parnosa, because betochen and simcha are obviously strongly linked. The stronger person's betochen is, the more he trusts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good, and that nothing random will ever happen to him that isn't preordained, and nothing bad will ever happen to him, then he can be a calmer, happier person. The more he thinks that everything that happens in this world is random, and is without a higher control or a higher authority in charge, and even if he believes in the higher authority, maybe he doesn't believe that the higher authority has his best interests at heart, so maybe he won't be happy. So in Shah Simcha, the Orech HaTzadikim writes, Me'inin ha-parnosa, the inin of parnosa, yeh b'tochen shle al Hashem Baruch Hu. When a person works, his b'tochen shle b'nakadosh Baruch Hu, she yazmin lo tzrochov u'mazoyne k'dei sipukoi. Person has to trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him, financially, everything that he needs. And then he carries on and writes, Vim hoya b'tech b'elikim bal isho bonim. If the person who has b'tochen, has a family, he has a wife, he has children, v'oyehavim, he has other loved ones or relatives or neighbors that rely on him, yiftach b'elikim, he should trust in Hashem, sheyitin lo koyach l'shalim lem ma shechayv lem. He should trust that not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him, he should also trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of every single other person that he is responsible for financially. And then the Orech HaTzadikim carries on, and he writes, V'yiftach bo, you should also trust, She'yishmereu mipigoi ha'olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you from the evil or bad things that happen in the world. U'mischoleim, u'midever, u'micherev, u'mirov, u'misharoi, samsak shlo v'olam. Person should trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, A, financially, that he'll be safe and he'll be secure, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always give him, and everyone who relies on him, everything he needs. And also, a person should trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that nothing bad will happen to him. He should have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem will protect him and keep him safe from all ills of the world. We know the Gemara says in Soita, Daf Mem Ches, Omid Beis, Kol mi shiyesh le pas besaloi. Any person who has bread for that day, V'oimen, he says, Ma noichal lemocha, what will I eat tomorrow? Einoi elo miktani emona. He's somebody who isn't on a high level of emona. So therefore the question is, that somebody who takes a life insurance is assuming two things. The first thing, or he's worried about two things at least, or he's protecting himself from two things. The first thing he's saying is, I don't know whether I will make it past the age of 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, depending on what age he takes the policy till. I think the maximum age you could take it out till, if it's not a whole life insurance, is until the age of 85. But somebody who takes that life insurance is, number one, worrying about whether he will make it past a certain age. L'choira, does that not contradict the mitzvah of betochen, which the Shari Tshuva tells us is a mitzvah deraisa, based on the posuk, that a person shouldn't have fear. L'yisira mehem. And the other thing he's assuming is that even if he is nifta early, and something does go wrong, he won't have plenty of money in the bank for the rest of his family. Somebody who's got many millions in the bank account technically doesn't need life insurance. If you read up the pros and cons of life insurance, and they tell you that it's not necessary for somebody who's very, very wealthy, because if he has loads of money, then the family will be okay anyway. It's only for somebody who's not sure how he will... isn't a really, really wealthy person, and he's still got debts to pay off, he doesn't have enough for the family to live off. So he's assuming, or he's worried about the fact that A, he'll be nifta early, and B, that he'll be nifta early with no money in the bank, or with not enough money to sustain the family in the future. So is it chesaron and betochen? Now we actually find that certain gedolim who did not take out life insurance, or other insurances, it would be the same l'chol l'gabei fire insurance, home insurance, car insurance, it's illegal to drive without car insurance, so you have to have car insurance. But concerning other insurances, there were gedolim who advised against taking, or at least personally for themselves, didn't take out insurances because of this question of betochen. In the Sefer Tzadik Shloime, written about Shloime Zalman Bloch, who was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, in Ois Ein Vav, he writes about his Rebbe the Chofetz Chaim, Ma'olim lo yivtiach es beisoy. The Chofetz Chaim never took out insurance on his house, or shum dova, or anything else. Ba'achrayis never took out any insurance. Vayoyman, he would say, habateich b'Hashem cheses sevivenu v'lo yikaro. Nothing will happen. And once the Chofetz Chaim was unaware of the fact that they insured his home behind his back without him knowing. I don't know why they did that, but maybe they decided, I don't know who they were, but they decided the Chofetz Chaim's home needed insurance, and behind his back, and without his agreement, they insured his home. And Shlomo Bloch says that v'nisraf ha'ba'as, there was a fire in the house. As in, v'ilang the Chofetz Chaim didn't have insurance, and he had his betochen in Hashem, the house was fine. The second they took out insurance, and something bad actually did happen to the house. So, that's the first question. What about betochen? Is betochen a problem when it comes to life insurance? In Shuvas Oz Nidburu, Simon Yud Gimel, He also quotes a letter from Reb Chatzke Levenstein. It's not the Maskona of the Osnid Brook, but he quotes the opinion of Reb Chatzke Levenstein. He wrote a letter to somebody advising against taking out life insurance. Because of this reason, if a person has betochen, he'll be safe. If a person doesn't, then he's leaving himself open to the elements. So where does betochen fall in all of this? The second question which the poskim raise, or the second concern, b'negiah to taking out life insurance, is based on a Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Chesamad Beis. The Gemara says the famous story, there was a child that was nifter, and Rish Lakish got his meturgeman to say words of Nechama to the family. And one of the things the meturgeman said was, b'negiah to Misa, he said, Rabbim Shosu, many people have drunk the kois of Misa before, Rabbim Yishtu, many people will drink the kois of Misa, k'mishta rishonim, kach mishta achroinim, you know, people have always died, people will always continue to die. And Abaya heard this, and Abaya heard the way he was speaking about people having died and people always will die, and he got very upset. Abaya says, Rabim Shosu Lema. You're allowed to say the words Rabim Shosu. Many people have drunk the cups of death. But Rabim Lishtu, Rabim Yishtu Loi Lema. You can't say that many people will continuously drink the cups of death. Mishtar Shoinim Lema. You're allowed to say that this is something which has happened previously. Mishtar Achronim Loi Lema. Why? My Tama says the Gemara, La Olam Al Yiftach Odom Piv L'Satan. A person should never open up his mouth to the Satan. A person should never start talking about things that could go wrong. A person should talk always positively and not give something for the Satan to grab onto and talk about how things might go terribly pear-shaped. And we find this a number of places in Halacha, Kepasuk and Shulchan Aruch, that a person should be careful what he says. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch and Yoridein Hinchas Avelos, in Simon Shin and Vav Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yoma odam, a person should never say the words Lo nifreti kafi maasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't punished me according to all the things that I've done. I've done way worse than HaKadosh Baruch Hu has yet paid me for my averus. O kiyotim dvarim elu, anything of the sort. Shal yiftach pe l'satan. If a person walks around saying, Baruch Hashem, my life has been great, I've done so many averus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has yet to punish me for everything that I've done, then he's opening up his mouth to the satan. He's giving the impression that something bad should perhaps happen to him. A person shouldn't do such a thing. Morgan Avrom and Reish Lamates, Siv Kotten Zayin, the end of Chelik Beis of the Mishavur, right at the end. So the Morgan Avrom, there at the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says, the halachas before a person goes to sleep, he says that it's a very good thing for a person to look back on his day and see what he's done right and what he's done wrong, and where he can improve, and what he hasn't done perfectly. But he says a person shouldn't say vidui shchiv mirah. Seems like there's something called vidui shchiv mirah, that a person on his deathbed says vidui of all the avarice in case he's literally about to go, somebody's mom is very ill. And the Morgan Avrom says, oidois vidui lifnei sheholich lishon, ein loy loyma vidui shchiv mirah, mitamal yiftach pe l'satan. Don't say the vidui shchiv mirah, the vidui that a person says before he's nifter, or shchiv mirah says, because Mitzvah Shem, you'll wake up in the morning. So we see clearly that there is, in Halacha and in Gemara, a person shouldn't open up his mouth to the Satan. So L'chori, when a person takes out life insurance, ask the poskim, is he not doing the very same thing? He is saying that if I die before the age of this, then I need to have life. Well, don't say anything. Mitzvah Shem will be alive until 120, with lots of money and good health and wealth, and that's it. Don't take out policies that are beginning to ask questions about how long you will be alive for. And the third taina, which the Chazon Ish is quoted in Maaseh Ish as in Chelek Gimel, Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, as having said. Chazon Ish didn't write Maaseh Ish, but it's a collection of things which his Talmidim said in his name. And Reb Solo HaKafisha says the same thing in his Chuvos, Evan Yisrael Chelek Tes, Siman Kuf Samach Aleph. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Emes. Shmoy Shekadosh Baruch Hu Emes, Choysom Shekadosh Baruch Hu Emes, Tayose Emes. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mid of Emes. And what does it mean, the middle of MS? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, and he doesn't say any lies. That's something which every basic human being should try and strive towards, being totally MS. Why is it such a praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Sforim say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a judgment to somebody, he doesn't only look at that person and base the judgment based on that person's own merits. He looks at the person's family, how will it impact his friends, how will it impact his neighbors, his children, the people he dines with in shul. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what to do to somebody, he takes into account everybody who will be impacted by the judgment. The Sforim say that as an Eitzah, for a person who wants to be Zoicha Bedin in Rosh Hashanah, who wants to be Stam Zoicha to good judgment, the more people who he has around him who are positively impacted by him as a person, then the safer he will be. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to take into account all the people that are around this person if something will happen to this individual. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Emes, it means there's so much truth. He doesn't just look at the person himself and forget about everyone else on the peripherals. He looks at the person himself together with everyone around him, and that's called a real true judgment. That's called a din emes. Like a Shabbat is dayan ha emes. He's the real dayan who takes into account everything. So the Chazon Ish says, and Rabbi Sulak Fisher writes this in his Tshuvas, that it could be that a person has a schus to be alive in this world only because of the fact that he's feeding his family and he's supporting a family, supporting children, and it could be that that very fact is something which gives him a schus chaim. And if he wouldn't be there, then who would be supporting the family? So he's got a schus chaim. If a person takes out a life insurance policy of a few million pounds, then maybe his whole schus, his sole schus of being in the world, he's needed to keep the family afloat, has now gone by the wayside. Because he can go, there's a few million pounds that'll be paid straight into the bank account of the spouse or whoever's the beneficiary the next morning, and everything will be fine. So says Rabbi Sulak Fisher, Yochelios, it could be Shalidze Shitzorich Odom Shidoglehem. A person needs to worry for his family. Ali Deza Kutchborhu Marachas Yemem. Because of that he has a Richas Yomim. Bishusa Isho, Vabonim, Ashim Zenoisam Hoylich Derech Aviem. Masha Einkein, Im Yelem Bituachaim, it could be, says Rabbi Sulak Fisher in his Tshuvas, if a person has life insurance, Oz Einem Kvas Chuzem, maybe he's lacking the schus of being alive because somebody else will be there. There's someone else in place to take care of the family. La'achem Eva Eshim. So these are the three different reasons that the poskim bring up of why life insurance perhaps is a question, at least of life insurance. Number one, is it chson and betochen? Trust that everything will be okay. Trust you'll have long life. Trust you'll have a lot of financial stability, even when you are nifter. Number two, al liftach piv l'sotan. Don't talk about evil things happening. And number three, that perhaps it's your whole schus kiyum, is the fact that you're alive, supporting your family. And if you put something else in place of your salary or your mortgage repayments, then you will lose. Perhaps you'll lose that schus chayim. So what do the poskim say to answer these three problems? And why do the majority of poskim in fact hold that life insurance is b'chlal not a problem al pi halacha, and some even very strongly encourage a person to take out life insurance? So when we get to betochen, I think the first truth we find about life insurance is Priya Sode in Chelik Besim, Mem Dalet, and then later on Ravad Yosef in his Truvas Yechavadas, and Moshe Feinstein famously has two Truvas in Rebbe Yashav and Shevet Halevi and Moshe Shtembuch. But upon him, the theme that the poskim together take, when you get to the first problem of why it's not a chsoron and betochen for a person to take out life insurance, is in one word, is ishtadlus. We know a person, even though we have to trust, and we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and nothing happens without Kadosh Baruch Hu deciding what should be. At the very same time, a person has to do everything which he can, within reason, to make sure that he has parnosa, and he has good health, and his family are looked after. A person can't just sit back in a chair and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, have trust, everything will be okay, and therefore you don't need to do anything. Rav Avad Yosef quotes the Medrash in Te'ilim, who says, Reblez ben Yaakov Oymer, Leman Yivrech Hashem Alekecha B'chol Mas Yodecha Shetase. Kadosh Baruch Hu benches everything which a person does. Yochol, you might have thought you should have a bottle. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is benching me. I can just sit down and do nothing. Tamolem b'chol ha-shetase. It depends on everything which you do. Im oise, if you do something, misborich, then you'll be gebenched. Im eino oise, and if you don't do something, then eino misborich, you won't be gebenched. And therefore it's true we have to have betochen. And it's true we have to trust that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of every single thing which happens. But at the same time, we are also allowed to and encouraged and required to take care and to make sure that our family and ourselves are fully looked after al pi derech hateva. What we have to believe, says Rav Yosef, is that even once we've done the ishtadlus is only matzliach because HaKadosh Baruch has decided that it should work. We can't take the extreme of just sitting and doing nothing. We can't take the extreme of just being busy and saying it's all about me and my ideas and my investments and my skill. We have to do ishtadlus and at the same time believe that our ishtadlus, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, will work, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, it won't work. Rav Yosef quotes the Meiri in his Pirush on Mishli, on the words, Rabois Machshoves Belevish, Va'atzas Hashem Hisokum. So generally we translate it as a person thinks and thinks, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu laughs and does what he wants. So, but the Meiri doesn't translate it like that. Meiri says, Rabois Machshoves Belevish, a person has to plan. He has to have Machshov, it's not a bad thing. A person needs to plan. How am I going to make Parnosa? How am I going to make sure that the family are taken care of? Va'atzas Hashem Hisokum. But you have to know that the Eitz of Hashem, He is the one who will make your plan successful or not successful. That's what Atas Hashem Yisokum. So therefore, says Avad Yosef and Ramosha and others, that Betochen doesn't come in over here. I mean, Avad, it comes in over here. But it's not a chesaron or steering Betochen for a person to take out life insurance, because a person needs to do his own ishtadlis, and this is not a lack of Betochen by a person taking a step to make sure that his family are safe in the case of something bad happening. We quoted the Gemara before that says that somebody who prepares for tomorrow is Mektani Amona. But in Shuvas Vayan Dovid from the Chiddur Weiss, from Dan Weiss, from Antwerp Shlita, he brings a Medrash that says the exact opposite. The Medrash says, in Medrash in Keheles, HaChocham Einav Beroyshoi, who's called a wise person? Zer Shelekeh Chitim L'Sholeshonim. Somebody who buys enough food to last them for 3 years, that's called a wise person. Vaksil b'choshech hoylech, who's called a fool? Zer shalikei chitim l'shona achas. Somebody who only plans 1 year in advance is called a fool, and somebody who plans 3 years in advance is called a very wise person who's praised by the Medrash. See, as a stira, we've just said that somebody who plans or thinks ahead for tomorrow is called Miktani Amoni, is lacking betochen. You have enough for today. Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you tomorrow. But then the Medrash says the person needs to think 3 years in advance he's wise, 1 year in advance he's a fool. How do you fathom this seeming contradiction between the two chazals? But Dan Weiss says a very nice word. He says that the Gemara doesn't say you can't plan for tomorrow. The Gemara says somebody who has enough for today and is worried about tomorrow is called Miktani Amoni. The Lashon of the Gemara in Soita is call me sheshle pas basale v'oima ma noichel lemocha. What am I going to eat tomorrow? He's worried about it. Of course, as Dan Weiss, you can plan for tomorrow. You can take steps to make sure you have everything you need for tomorrow and the day after. But don't be worried about it. And therefore, also Vayan Dovid, the Chovas, Dan Weiss said, there's no chson and betochen at all. You can plan. You can take steps. You can put things in place. That's your ishtadlus. But don't be worried and don't be panicked about it. But the ishtadlus you're still allowed to do. Now the poskim can bring two rayas that we see clearly in Chazal, that a person is allowed to take steps, not only to live up Piderech HaTeva, but take steps to plan for something going terribly wrong. The Tosis in Kedushin of Mem Aleph Amad Aleph, the Gemara says that it's Osa Lekadosh is Bitek Shiktana. You're not allowed to marry off your daughter to somebody when she's a Ketana before she's a Nara. Tosis asks the question, nowadays many people marry off their daughters when she's still a Ketana. To which Tosis answers, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. At the moment, if somebody has the finances and he's got the security in order to marry off a child, then he should do so. We don't know what will be tomorrow. The tzoros of Klal Yisrael are growing. And therefore, if you're able to do it today, marry off your daughter today. And even though Chazal made an Issa, Osel, Odom, Shekadosh, Esbitek, Shiktana, still, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring, a person can marry his daughter off. So we see, not only are you allowed to take steps for ishtadlus, you'd have to take steps of ishtadlus, even worrying about, not worrying, but making sure that if something does go wrong, you'll be safe. The other raya that they bring is from the Gemara Ksubas Daf Tes. The Gemara says, "Beneget David Amelech, kol yoytza lumelchemes beis David get krisus koisiv leishtoi." That when the soldiers used to go to battle, they would write a get in order that if the soldier went missing or something went wrong, they should fall liyibum. So we see they were putting things in place. If something does go wrong, then they will be safe. How can you write a get? Because maybe the soldier will die in battle. Don't worry, everything will be okay. So we see clearly two places, and not only you're allowed to do ishtadlus, but you're also allowed to do ishtadlus that in case something goes wrong, then you've got certain things put in place. Sorry? What do you mean by bokum sakona? There's no sakona they need to get a get for.
No, but to go to war.
To go to war sakona? It's bokum sakona, so therefore. He has to repent himself, he's going to die as well.
Yeah?
I hear. So that's the reason why betochen is not a chesaron betochen taking a life insurance. The other thing which we said was b'neged to aliftach piv ha'sotan, a person shouldn't open his mouth to the sotan and say as if bad things might happen. So the poskim also quote the Rivash, and the Bisasa brings the Rivash. The Rivash says that it's mutter for a person to buy a plot for himself in a beis hachaim for after for lachem eveshim. It's mutter for a healthy person even to prepare his own tachrichim lachem eveshim, and we don't find that's called a chesaron of aliftach piv lesotan, even though he's preparing
it's
It's a skuli even for a person, for arichas yom, for a person to buy. So the Shulchan Chasam Sofer, he writes, there's no chiyuv be'etzim to buy a plot when you're still alive. And he brings a raya from last week's parsha, Benegiat Avraham Avinu, the only born Moras HaMachpelah for Soromeno after, she was lifted, not before. But the Shulchan Gemara and others say, no, that was the minig, a person did buy a plot. And we don't see that Chasam on Aliyftach Piv L'Sotan. So if a person meaninglessly makes a comment like, a Gajbor is going to punish me, or without any meaning, he says the words, Rabim Yishtu, people will die and things will happen, he shouldn't speak like that. But to take steps for a person's eventual death, we see clearly in the poskim it's not concern of aliftach piv l'sotan, and therefore the poskim say that second concern of aliftach piv l'sotan wouldn't be a problem when it gets taking life insurance. Now, when I get the third thing that I said of maybe you lose your schus kiyum, I didn't really find the answer to this time of the Chazon Ish, except I saw one or two rabbonim writing that does that mean a person shouldn't amass wealth or have investments or have anything put away for the family for the future, because then he will no longer be necessary. If somebody has the opportunity to have a lot of ashiras, he should push it away because then he won't have a finite, because then he'll lose his chuskiyam. So it seems from the posting of these three reasons, both the reason of betochen, the reason of aliftach piv l'sotan, and the concern that he'll lose your chuskiyam as the breadwinner of the family, the poskim were not concerned about these three reasons. We find, in fact, two places in Chazal I saw where it seems as if Chazal themselves put a life insurance policy in place. Number one is the Gemara in Ksubas, where the Gemara discusses the various chiyuvim that the husband has for the wife and various chiyuvim the wife has to the husband. And one of them is that the husband gets the peiros of the wife, and in lieu of the peiros the husband gets for the wife, he's mechuyiv to redeem her. So we see clearly the Chazal put in place a system that in case the wife gets captured and something goes wrong, there's already a system in place, the husband is obligated to pay for the pigeon shum for her to be redeemed. So we see clearly already from Chazal that there was a life insurance or some kind of insurance put in place without any concern. And the final thing we see also is in Baba Kama, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tezan speaks about people who would travel together in ships, and they would say, if my ship gets lost, then we'll all chip in together. And they would make a group agreement where they would chip in to pay if one person's ship got lost at sea, then the others would cover the loss of the ship. So our kaponim, these are the three reasons which the poskim discuss and why these three reasons are not necessarily a concern when it comes to life insurance. And if you look in the poskim, Rabbi Yashav, Rabbi Moshe, Shevet Halevi, Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch, all of them are right, that's totally mutter for a person to take a life insurance, and some of them even strongly encourage a person to take a life insurance as a step for something which he could do for his family. Sorry? I didn't see about health insurance, but l'chor, it could be the same thing. If it's not chson and betochen, because it's a step of a shtadlis, and it's not chson and alif to priv l'sotan, so it would be the same thing. And Moshe equates life insurance with fire insurance and with home insurance. He puts them all into the same pocket, and he says they're all not chson or betochen. And he says the betochen is that you'll be able to pay the monthly cost. That's where your betochen should lie. You'll be able to pay the monthly cost. Ramey Shapiro took out life insurance, and even though Ramey Shapiro had no children, he said that the financial responsibility of Yeshiva's Chachman Lebrin is on his shoulders, and if he goes, if he's nifter, then what will happen to the yeshiva? And therefore he took out life insurance, and tak a month after he took out the policy, he was nifter, and they paid up £30,000, or $30,000 in those days, which went straight to the yeshiva. Satmar Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, also had life insurance, and he said it's a skula for Arichas Yomim. Why? So they quote, the Koich V'Yitzchak in his Tshuvas quotes the Shinevarov. Shinevarov says that the life insurance companies have got a Murdiga Mazel and Shavam to be very wealthy. They're extremely wealthy, successful companies. And therefore, if a person takes out an insurance policy with a life insurance company, then the life insurance has a Mazel, they won't ever have to pay it. And therefore, if you are insured, then you'll be alive in Mitzvah Shem for a long time to make sure they don't lose their money, because that is their Mazel. But the thing we have to remember is that even with all their shtalas, that person can, I'll be the poskim, and maybe even are encouraged to put in place to make sure that he's safe and to make sure his family is safe, and it's a skula for everyone to have yomim. At the same time, you have to remember that Rabbis Machshov is Belevish, these are all our thoughts and our plans which we allow to and we're encouraged to do, but at the same time Atzas Hashem Hisokum, it's the Akash Baruch Hu and the Koich of Akash Baruch Hu who's running the world, who will make Mitzvah Hashem everything good for all of us in Mitzvah Hashem.
Rabbi Hanani, we have to show the world to the Zaka, it is the soil. If you can have a lamb to our Mitzvah, Shlem, out of the best man, Siko, Yadu, Toro, Yadu, and all me, it's God, Hashem, Eir, Abo, Yom, Ad, Rokus, Eir, Yom, Lich, Malchus, Eir, Bechai, Yechon, Yom, 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 Yom,